Hello, everyone, and welcome to JeffG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Someone was asking on Discord if IVF tends to select for bad sperm. He said, is IVF dysgenic because you don't get the best sperm or the best DNA? It's not so much that you don't get the best DNA. It's that you relax the evolutionary pressures for actually sperm actually finding its way through the human female pathways. So basically all of the stuff that makes a sperm really search for the egg, really survive for a couple of days inside the female uterus and inside the fallopian tubes, all of this is what's lost in IVF because you don't select for it anymore. Because a random scientist will be picking the sperm. So that is the problem. It's not so much the DNA quality. It's this. It's the sperm motility and functionality. This is such a boomer meme. Just the fact that this is out there is evidence that the boomers are not totally dead. Can confirm. Hell's Angels are headed to Aurora, Colorado. Stay strong, America. This is a meme that has emerged in the last few days about... So there was these migrant... The Venezuelan migrant gang that was taking over an apartment complex, threatening the renters with guns. Basically, a lawless land arising in Colorado. And there was this meme that somehow the Hell's Angel would come and save the population. Like, this made me think about the MAGA days and the whole January 6th type of QAnon Trump fans. Stay strong, patriots. The bikers are on our side. And you guys says Friday 13th coming. Bikers gather on Friday 13th. I don't know exactly what caused this, but I don't expect that the Hell's Angels, even if the Hell's Angels were coming to Colorado to address this situation, it would just mean that you are in a gang war. It would just mean that somehow the Venezuelan migrants have stepped over the business of the Hell's Angel and... as someone was pointing out on Twitter, you know the Hell's Angels are involved in drugs and circulating weapons and drugs to gangs. So best case scenario, what you have is a gang war. But no, the Hell's Angels are not coming to save the population. Lendald Guntram says, more work for angels from hell. Kamala's border chaos, San Diego sector out of control. Illegals arriving from Jordan, China, and India. Okay, so you want the Hell's Angel to also go secure the border? I think you're asking too much here. Raw milk is on the table. Matt Walsh has come out strong against raw milk. He says, raw milk is disgusting. We live in a first world civilized society. And people are actively choosing to consume milk riddled with E. coli and Listeria. Pasteurization is not some evil sorcery. It just kills the dangerous bacteria, you morons. Yeah, I don't have a strong position on raw milk. I don't think that a strong position like the one from Matt Walsh here is justified either. First, raw milk is necessary for good cheese. If you eliminate raw milk, there's a lot of the good cheeses out there that don't exist anymore. So no, raw milk certainly isn't that much of a problem. And, you know, I'm all about challenging your own life and stomach with the reality of the world. So if raw milk kills you, I tend to think that maybe you were due to die. That being said, I'm not a purist either, and I don't think that pasteurization is terrible. I don't think it takes away much nutrients. Really, what it does is it does kill living organisms, and perhaps by killing them, perhaps that you get rid of some good ones, but I don't think you get rid of any significant nutrient. Longmont Passion says, Americans don't know what cheese is. Correct. Fact check. Correct. Myron Gaines is e-thought policing Isabella Maria De Luca. I've been also thought policing her because this is weird. This girl, she posts pictures of her in bikinis and all. And then she... Okay, that's one thing. Okay, so you're a conservative model, influencer. That's one thing. But then she goes on Twitter, and almost every day she states on Twitter, I will not put half naked pictures of me online. I am a conservative. And it's like, what is she doing? Is she trolling? Or does she actually think that having a bikini is not being half naked? I don't know what the fuck is wrong with her. But look, and Myron Gaines caught her, and I had caught her about a week ago. He says, laughing my ass off, this chick blocked me for exposing her for being a grifting trad tot. She says, I don't need to post half-naked pictures of myself on social media. I'm someone's future wife. Okay, but like your profile pic, I don't see any. I don't see anything that you'd be wearing in there. Maybe you have a small dress that's basically invisible, and here you are posting constant bikini pictures of yourself. How does it work in her head? That's what I don't understand. What does Isabella Maria De Luca think she's doing? Is she just lying? Or does she feel that bikini really is a category of clothing that is fully clothed? I have no idea. She confuses me. While Chase was busy pursuing white nationalists, because white nationalists, you will remember, are the greatest threat to our nation, black people were withdrawing lots of money from Chase Bank because of... this is where you're faced with a population of children, because they've been calling it the infinite money bug. And it's like... It's the fact that they found out you can deposit, you can make a deposit, and then before it's even verified whether the check is valid, the ATM automatically gives you an allotment of some degree of money that you can withdraw from that deposit. Now, this infinite money bug, my dear black friends from the US, this infinite money bug has been existing since at least 1992. It's not a money bug. And really, what's been happening for a long time is that this is how it's been working. And they've put a cap on it. So generally, well, the way they protect themselves, banks, is by saying, okay, we'll honor any check deposited for an account in good standing, but up to $500 or up to $1,000. And so you can't really exploit the system for more than $1,000. And if you do for $1,000, then you'll get all of the problems of prosecution. Now, something happened at Chase Bank that somehow the cap wasn't working or something, because black people were coming out of the ATM with what seems to be thousands of dollars, perhaps tens of thousands of dollars. So they were basically depositing a check, an empty check of $40,000, and they were immediately withdrawing it. So I don't know, something in the temporary cap system of withdrawal bugged. But now you have a weird tendency, a weird trend. You have black people filming themselves on TikTok looking at their bank account, and now their bank account has been going into the red at minus 40,000. And they're like, they cry on camera. Something is wrong with this, because black people normally do not cry because they have a minus on their bank account, especially if that allowed them to withdraw tens of thousands of dollars for free. So there's something wrong happening here. And I'm thinking, are these fake cry videos that they're generating for the purpose of perpetuating the fraud? Is it that they want to create a public record so that when the bank asks them, what's up with the $40,000? They can say, well, look, I got defrauded. I didn't do the withdrawal. It wasn't me. Maybe they give their cards to their friends, their black friends. Their black friends goes in, withdraws the $40,000. Then they go complain on TikTok, say, hey, look at my bank account. It's at minus $40,000. So maybe it's fake cries here, but I feel something is very wrong with this trend. Rodita Sid says, if governments write themselves check with fake money, why can't we? Ah, we the people, we could put this as a as a constitutional right, maybe. Yesterday, someone contacted me with information that I found interesting. I don't think it's a massive story, because simply it's a documentation. It's someone who is in the who has convinced me that he is effectively in the intelligence community, working with these networks of psyops and basically people paid to control what goes on in the social media, and to influence and to pull the political conversation in various sides. And he has showed me evidence of what is the talking point that a lot of Trump supporters are currently planning. And especially people who are around intelligence stuff. So it was someone who has contacted me because I started talking about censorship and influence on free speech with the Brazil stuff in the last few shows, and the person was informed enough about this domain to show things to me. So yesterday I published what he told me basically, and what he made a demonstration of to me in private, because of course he works in this sector. He doesn't want to be known. And so I've kind of anonymized the details, and I just told you the great lines of it. I say, a verified source from inside the intelligence community indicates to me that there are upcoming psyops in the United States which will seek to paint Kamala Harris as supporting draconian forms of censorship. The goal that a branch of the intelligence community are pursuing with this project is to disadvantage Kamala in order to get Trump back in power. The media operations, which will take place from now up to November, will seek to capitalize on the recent Brazilian ban on X and try to assign the blame on US Democrats for not exerting enough pressures on Brazil to defend free speech. So based on what I've seen, they want to take this whole fight of Elon Musk, and they want to basically make the case that it could happen here. And I mean, we've seen it all. This is why I say it's not that big of a story, because we've already seen these talking points. They all already went for it. And so they will just continue with this. They want a whole Elon Musk clash with freedom in Brazil. And they want to make the case that Kamala Harris, ultimately, it's her fault. Now, that's a tough one. That's kind of pulled by the hair, because I don't see much of Kamala Harris' responsibility here. It's just third world nation will third world, you know. But they want to make the case that the U.S. didn't make enough pressure on Brazil, and that ultimately Kamala, it is what she would have wanted. and that Kamala would do the same if she could in the US. And we've seen already yesterday Elon Musk coming out a lot and saying, if Kamala is elected, we lose free speech in America. All of this is false. I said, the goal is to rotate the energetic populist base around Elon Musk, some of whom are liberal-minded, to vote Republican in the upcoming election because a part of the intelligence community feels they will have more power under a Trump who appears to have shifted toward a more geopolitically aggressive and traditional political program. Proceed with extreme caution when interpreting news items related to censorship and predictions that a Kamala government would be abyssal for free speech. The fact is that the First Amendment protects all Americans as long as big tech isn't willfully collaborating with government censors. And I don't know. First, there are people pissed at this, and there are what seems to be bots that are pissed at this. So perhaps it's an operation that was already in course, and perhaps I've thrown something that they don't like. But I find it impressive how people self-reveal ultimately, because if these three had ignored me, had ignored this news item, I would have had no way to know that perhaps they are involved. But seeing how pissed off they are, I think that these three have something to do, perhaps, with this operation. Perhaps they are agents that have been asked to push these talking points. Because you have a captive dreamer that says, this guy is Canadian and can't even vote in the US. Really sick of these people. A Bronze Age pervert. He was told to say, I am Mossad agent. He take Epstein money, so I hear. So I never said that Bronze Age pervert was a Mossad agent. I've reported on what is known that is his father, apparently, if I remember correctly my report. But it's been a while. But his father was in the academia and close to intelligence circles. That's what I reported. I didn't say he's a Mossad agent himself. But see, now they start listing everything that they have against me to decredibilize my story. But it's fascinating how they are going straight to the smears. They're like started. If you just expose them a little bit. First, they expose themselves further, and second, they immediately start listing the smears that they have against you. Even Milo. Milo says, also, his wife is in the walls. As if, you know, this bunch of gay, glowy bloggers going out there. What do we have against this guy? Oh, he took money from Epstein. Oh, yeah, and his wife is in the walls. Don't forget. It's all lies. Well, all lies. Not that I took money from Epstein, but still used as a smear. So smears that they can gather to try to decredibilize rather than engage with the truth. Is it you guys? Is it you, Milo? Is it the whole gay gym bros of Milo, Bronze Age Pervert, and the others? Is it you guys that have been hired for this job to try to push a pro free speech wing of the Trump election cycle, in the Trump election cycle? So a griper was saying, three glowy is crying because Jeff called them and their operation out, laughing my ass off. It's fascinating. New guy says, wait, Milo said that about you? Well, of course. His wife is in the walls. He's talking about me. He's falsely accusing me of murdering Mama JF, of course. Of course, that is... I don't know... I don't know anyone else with a wife in the walls that he could be referring to. It seems that, yes. So basically, this is how the Jewish brain works. It's not even about, oh, let's ask ourselves if it's true. Perhaps Jeff got contacted by a man inside our operation. Perhaps Jeff has friends that we don't know he has. Perhaps there are people around us that are working with us, that have access to all of our PowerPoints, that are betraying us in our back. But instead of asking them these rational questions, they're immediately going at, how can we decredibilize JF? But anyways, I didn't publish this yesterday to convince anyone. I published it because I have a responsibility. If someone comes to me, you know, because Mark Braman was asking, Jeff, are you sure you're not getting food? I'm not absolutely sure, because someone can make up a complex screenshot operation and fake screenshots, fake data, fake PowerPoints. But I've done the verifications that are that are necessary to protect myself against the most obvious types of fraud and lies. So I think I've reported it because I think it's true. And there's about 100 different people per week that contact me with crazy stories that I never report. So certainly I've made sure that it wasn't this level of not of absolute craziness. On top of it, I've corroborated a lot of what this person came to me with. I've corroborated it with a lot of things that are happening right now publicly. Like, you see their talking points changing yesterday for the Brazil stuff. Dr. Simon Godek, I fled the Netherlands for Brazil due to political persecution over expressing my opinion on COVID. In 2024, I will have to flee Brazil for another refugee because expressing my opinion on X could eventually land me in jail. Look, Elon Musk. Elon Musk warns censorship of X is a certainty if Kamala Harris wins. According to what I've seen, this guy was, and what this guy was claiming, they will try to build a fear of a constitutional attack on free speech by Kamala Harris. And so I can confirm that this is ongoing. This makes sense as a story to me because it's already happening. It's already a talking point that they've been using for a couple of days. Bad Monk sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, do you think and support America should be a white ethno state, or should it be equal for all races like the founding fathers imagined? Well, you know, putting it in those terms is just creating trouble because I'm in Canada and there are all sorts of rules, and the term ethno state somehow is triggering hate and triggering censorship of a kind that you don't get when you avoid it. So putting this term aside, let me tell you what I believe in. I believe that races are different enough that living together comes at extreme costs. Extreme costs, and sometimes extreme costs on both sides. When you think about it, like think about it from a black perspective, living with white people means having a lot of your loved ones in jail. That's a problem. That's a cost that they do pay. But on the side of white people, yes, we have a cost in the sense that white people are the only net positive, you know, big segment of the population that's truly contributing positively to income tax, such that the government budget is basically white people getting their money taken away from them and given to other minorities. So yes, in the end, I don't believe that life together is desirable for either side and for any race. And I believe that there should be that we should just follow nature. And nature, if you leave a way for people to resegregate, they will most definitely use it if they can. We can see this through the white flight pattern. We can see this through just the way countries end up being generally, you know, one vast majority with very small minorities. So naturally, basically, you have homogeneity re-emerging anywhere that it can. You know, and the mixity state is always just a transitionary state. It may take time. If you have a population that's like 30% one race, 30% another race, and then 30% another race, it's going to take time. But naturally, we converge toward homogeneity because the differences are big enough that there is not one governmental shape that is fine for all of races. But when you are homogeneous in a nation, there are some governments that are kind of fine for most people. You cannot reach this kind of fine for most people when you have one of the population that has 10x the number of crimes than the other population. One of the population is going to be oppressed, either the high criminal population, because they're going to be put in jail, or the low crime population is going to have to suffer from an amount of crime that they don't typically live with. So my answer to you is yes, we should. Nature will put back us into homogeneous states. We are fighting hard against it. Like modern society is trying very, very hard to keep nature from coming back. But nature will come back because any sort of liberty that you leave to people, they will use that liberty to just run away and rebuild among themselves. Now, the big delusion of white flight in the US is that this is enough and okay. It's the whole delusion that, oh yeah, we can avoid the problem. We just have to pick the right neighborhoods. But the right neighborhoods, your children might not be able to pick it. Because, okay, you come with money and you live in an okay real estate market. Down the line, 100 years, your children may not have the money that allows them to keep afloat from forced minority presence. And they're going to be in trouble. And there's going to be less and less place to run. And therefore, the prices of these places to run is going to exponentially increase until it's unattainable for most white people. DK Shadow says you need to think at least one generation ahead. Exactly. The people who do white flight right now in the US, they seem to think on an horizon of 10 years. This place is kind of gentrifying itself. Maybe we can stay clear from high criminality for about 10 years. It's like, no, you should be in a place where you cannot possibly see criminality arriving there for the next 100 years. That should be your time horizon. So you go to Alaska, you go to places where there will be a constant cycle of basically snow-based elimination of homeless, such that criminality installing itself in a permanent way is impossible just because there's too much snow. Donald Trump, the direction of his campaign, it's really not looking good. You know, and see Charlie Kirk cheering that. There will never be another Donald Trump. Oh, isn't that amazing? Oh, look at the dance. Bro, you're dancing on the gayest song there ever was. You're dancing on the gayest song available, and you're running the gayest campaign that was ever run for the Republican Party. And this is an example of where it's headed, and I believe this is full confirmation that Trump will not change. Trump has sold out to Zionist interest. he basically has a deal with them that I'm going to run the last pro-Jew campaign basically ever in the history of the US, and we're going to see if we can win. That's basically, Donald Trump is prepared to lose. To lose, and perhaps that means, I don't know, but perhaps his arrangement is such that he's going to get out of trouble, or that perhaps he's going to still be making a lot of money from just having tried this ultra-Zionist campaign. But I can't see what justifies this. And he's trying to go for the whole Sam Harris demonization of Muslim Arabs. And he's trying to rotate his whole talk of immigration away from what it was in 2016, which is Hispanic immigration. You know, they're criminals, they're rapists, they come from the southern border, we don't know who they are. And very clearly the left then had said, whoa, he's being racist against Mexicans. And now he's trying to do the Zionist rotation of, look, meet your new neighbors if Kamala wins. If Kamala wins, Hamas terrorists are going to make it into the U.S. Do you want to live alongside Hamas terrorists? The problem with this is that it's totally defocusing from the actual problem of immigration, and it shows that Trump doesn't care anymore about the actual problem of immigration. The actual problem of immigration is demographic replacement. This demographic replacement happens not by the Muslims. See, Muslims, 4% in 2022, 4% in 2008. There is nothing growing, and it's a very non-problem, very, very small. From a Muslim perspective, you might as well be worried about the Buddhists and the Hindus, because they're at 4% too, and they're growing. Or the atheists at 6%. No, the problem is not this 4% Muslim immigration. Now, you can do all of the checks for terrorists you want, but let's be clear here, that's the current state of our immigration system. Have you heard of terrorists making it into the U.S. under Kamala or Biden? No, didn't happen. So what is Trump doing here? He's presenting a non-program that doesn't address the problem, but just so he can say, oh yeah, I'm going hard against immigration. Oh yeah, have you seen how hard I go? If they burn the American flag, I'm going to kick them out. That's a conversion from a useful fight against immigration. That was the fight against the southern border, the wall. They are rapists, they are drug dealers, we're going to stop them. Onto a symbolic fight. So now you're just picking a fight with the enemies of Israel. And you know, I guess that includes me, I guess. Because I'm a public speaker talking against the interest of Zionism, I guess I couldn't make it into the U.S. under Trump. But ultimately, you are fighting against a non-existent problem, because share of the languages spoke at home by migrants in the U.S., 60.8% is Spanish. Arabic is only 2.0%. So here you have a 30-fold bigger problem in Spanish immigration as far as replacement goes, then you have a Muslim issue. And the fact that Trump is rotating toward a symbolic victory on immigration means that basically he wants to set the standard super low. He wants to come kick maybe a handful of Palestinian with some his. They're going to make a case that somehow these five guys had a history of terrorism. Maybe they traded Bitcoin with Hamas or whatever. they're going to kick them out of the US, and then Trump is going to say, job done. I've gotten rid of the Hamas terrorist. And there you go. You keep going on with the current America, current demographic replacement problem, current replacement of white people by Hispanic. That won't change. Very dangerous what's happening with Trump, because it's a total subversion of the general expectation that people have of Trump. People think that they're voting for an anti-immigration person. They're not. As far as I know, Kamala will be as harsh on the border as Trump is, based on her previous record, based on the promises made in the election. I don't think you have a difference in any way on immigration between the two programs at this point. They're going hard against Nick Fuentes. It seems that they're super pissed at him. And here you have a Republican black guy on Timcast just casually referring to the possibility that shooters may be Nick Fuentes inspired. Like, there never was a Nick Fuentes inspired shooter, but somehow he just drops it that way.
If this guy was a Nick Fuentes incel right wing extremist, they would have divulged that information quickly, because, you know, it would have been brief. You know, Nick would have had his meeting with his FBI agent and they would have briefed it.
So here you have a voice of, well, what Nick Fuentes described as a diversity hire of the GOP, just casually dropping false accusations about Nick, that he's a Fed. First, that he's a Fed, and that secondly, he inspires mass shootings. Oh yeah, and end of the line, Joel says, belts and braces, I am smart. Oh yeah, when you don't have the brains, the quickest way is to wear the braces. So I'm extremely disappointed by the direction of the Trump campaign. It's even worse than I thought. It gets gayer with time, and I'm more and more determined to... I hope that Kamala wins, because it's really the worst case scenario is a Trump win, where Trump feels that he can be headed in that way. And Trump feels that he has a debt toward the mainstream that voted for him, the pro-immigration that voted, the centrists that voted for him. And that would be absolutely dramatic. That would be the worst presidency you can imagine. Kamala is not going to be competent, but it's better to have someone who's incompetent and who has a lot of resistance to anything bad she could do than to have a Trump that goes there with an actual mandate to be that bad as he is in his current electoral program. This live streaming has gotten really low. We have here Boogie. I'm so sad. They are abusing physically Boogie. Lol Cow Live. So Boogie2988 is where they had him wear a sign that says, I faked cancer.
He's considering it, I think.
I faked cancer. Hit me. What's up, ladies and gentlemen of YouTube? Is it true? Boogie, cancer was not real. So I'm guessing the way it works is that we have Drama Alert Keemstar paying Boogie enough that Boogie accepts to be humiliated. Here he gets humiliated by this guy on a wheelchair who will hit him.
So sorry, sir. Fuck cancer. Hell yeah. You deserve this. You want to hit me?
Yeah, fuck cancer.
You lied about cancer. Sure. Sure.
Don't throw it. That's okay. Here. Yeah. Grab it.
Oh, no. This is disabled, undisabled crime.
Okay, so that is a low-level entertainment. I guess that's what Keemstar is doing these days. Rodita Sid says, Jeff, who is worst? Kamala as president or Trudeau as prime minister? Who runs the country into the ground faster? Well, you want to know the truth. The truth is that none of these two people run the country into the ground. Sometimes they are such leftists, in fact, that they go full circle. And they do something that precisely a Trump wouldn't do for you. One, my favorite example of this is Trudeau just going heartless, starting to kill Canadians. Like eugenics program type of, oh yeah, if you want to die, we'll help you. This is a radical eugenics program. The kind that you would think a radical like me gets excited about. And it's been done under Trudeau. So never forget that sometimes the leftists care so much that they end up being more far right than any conservative you could possibly put in position. Ariel Soares says, with euthanasia. Yeah, exactly. Euthanasia, Trudeau made it possible. And you end up having, you know, all these people who regret their surgery, you know. I'm not going to give much details. But there are people who go through surgeries and they regret it. And they suffer from it psychologically. And then they want to die. And then Trudeau gives them the little dying bubble. So you tell me, who is crashing society, Trudeau or Kamala? My answer to you is, we sometimes dramatize because, yes, it sucks to be under leftist regimes. But none of them are crashing our societies, even if you're an accelerationist. Here's the final black pill. You can't even accelerate, bro. You can't even accelerate the fall. The system is self-protective. Kamala will take good care of you. Mama Kamala will only be able to pass laws and apply rules that treat all Americans equally. So as she tries to help her black voter base, she's inevitably going to help your white trailer trash too, accidentally. And in the end, Kamala is taking good care of you. In the end, you can't accelerate the fall. Even that you can't do. That's how powerless you are. Doubting Thomas sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, why has naivete/innocence in a potential wife throughout time been an attractive trait? Even if the woman was lucky and didn't get her in trouble, it is likely a strong indicator that she will not be a mother who can teach her daughter the dangers of society and the environment. Okay, so you are arguing that a naive woman is a worse teacher than an experienced woman for the next generation. I'm not sure about this. I'm not convinced. You should bring me data if you want to make that case, but I don't believe that we learn that much from life experience. Life experience, by the way, is a boomer myth. Life experience is a boomer myth. I don't think we get that much better with life. I think we see a lot of things and it imprints on us and it traumatizes us, it changes us. But I don't think it works in that way, in this learning direction. I think really what's happening is you have to see yourself as kind of on a path of cross, where you're getting whipped, you're getting injured, you're losing a leg, you're losing a piece of skin, and you kind of make it at the end. That's more the illustration of life to me than truly an opportunity for learning. Because I've seen these bitches coming back from their fucking trips, and they're dumber than they than when they left, okay? They're dumber than when they left. So you're not going to tell me that the world is out there providing free information, and oh, the more I get exposed to information, the more I'm better, and I'm a better teacher for my children. I believe that at least white civilization, because I can kind of get it in a natural context where there's lots of viciousness, and yeah, you know, you do have to learn that how to hunt a deer, you're going to have to learn tricks, and you're going to get better at it. But as far as general life goes, and therefore as far as what most of the things that a female must teach to her daughters, I believe it's principle-based rather than experience-based. I believe that what makes a good woman in the end is a form of etiquette, class, knowing the rules of human communication, and that none of it is acquired through experience. That all of it is kind of acquired from the inside. You have to want to be good, and you have to learn the tricks to be good, which are basically tricks of etiquette. In that sense, I don't think that your trade-off as you present it is correct. That being said, why is naivete and innocence ultimately attractive? I believe simply that, have you ever tried to go out with a 30, you know, an old woman who is stubborn, who has acquired a kind of habit in being alone? I mean, they are fucking pain in the ass to interact with. Whereas an 18-year-old, she's going to be like, oh yeah, where are we going? Oh yeah, Jeff, show me everything. Like, it's night and day, night and day. An old woman is really generally unpleasant to be with. She is too crystallized in her ways, and you have no way to sculpt her. She's going to be unsculptable behaviorally. So maybe she's been raised correctly and she's going to be a pleasant person to be around, but most likely she's going to have learned through all of this adulthood very nasty, dirty behaviors, and she's going to be that way forever. Whereas the naive and innocent young woman, she is willing to be told what direction to take and willing to do anything. So she's more plastic, she's more malleable. That's why it's better, because then you can train her on the path of making 10 babies for you. You can't do that with the 40-year-old. Shring Mamel sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, the woman I'm talking to is now willing to have babies. Hopefully my international travel won't be for nothing. Absolutely. That's great, because she had been showing some signs of... She was saying, oh, babies, I'm not sure. And I was like, Shring Mamel, when he tells me his stories with Asian women, I'm pissed. They piss me off because they're like, oh, yeah, I'm not sure if I want babies. Oh, yeah, I'll make babies if I really feel that you're really, really a good husband, but not sure. And it's like, shut the fuck up. I'm yelling at my screen while this is Shring Mamel's life. I'm getting emotional about it. Anyways, so it seems that this one, so she was like, oh, I'm hesitating, babies, maybe, maybe not. Yeah, you do have to push on them on this. And you will see if she is willing, because you put them under the kind of ultimatum. You don't do it explicitly, necessarily. I do it explicitly every time. But you don't have to do it explicitly. But you have to kind of say, wait, you're not sure you want babies? Well, then I'm not sure if it can work between us. And it's like you basically attach the idea that you will pursue a relationship must be with the idea of baby making. And if they're reasonable and they truly think about it, and if inside of them they know they want babies eventually, they're going to say yes. Jan has sent $100. Thank you so much. He says, I'm looking to create a second family after a divorce at 46 and aim for another 3 children. We'll go for a European woman, this time instead of an Asian one. It's an uphill battle at a glance with mostly 30-plus women responding easily. Yeah, that is totally doable, bro. Oh, man. Okay. I'm sad, but at the same time, I'm sad that you're telling me you have a divorce, but at the same time, you seem to be on the path to try to turn it around, and knowing that you have the resources because you've been so generous to me with Super Chats, I'm confident that you'll be able to, yeah, definitely with your kind of resources and level of excellence. At 46, I think you're totally into the possible realm here to be having 3 more babies. So, yeah, you turn around these events. Like, you thought your life was done. You thought, okay, I have these 3 children. It's going to be the end of my life, and I'm going to settle down, make sure they do well in their adulthood. But poof, your Asian waifu is... I didn't know, Jan, that your waifu was Asian. That's interesting. I didn't know this. But suddenly she disappears. Poof. And suddenly you have another plan and a brighter one to an extent. Let me tell you that I had settled for life after Mama JF. I had decided that there was basically close to zero chance I would take a woman in. And I found the most amazing wife to partner with me. And wow, man, it's at the end of life like this, it's quite shocking because you discover levels of happiness that you've always been pursuing, but that you never got to because women are just too trashy. But then you see it was possible all along. And perhaps you are there where you had an okay relationship with your Asian wife, but you're about to discover perhaps even better. Better, which is you're going to be able to select a very good wife for you. And I suggest that you go for the same criteria I've gone, which is, well, first, she needs to be able to come into your life without destroying what you already have, what you've already built. She needs to be giving, loving, caring, and beautiful, and she needs to add only positive into your life, because at our age, you and I, Jan, you know, our hearts are almost at the point of dying anytime. And if they push us into anxiety, like I couldn't take a woman who endangers my life by going through these emotional roller coasters, who has demands on me. No. You come and you add happiness to my life, and that's all I can take. That would be the attitude I approach it with. Rodila Sid says, old man JF, gonna die soon. Absolutely. Anan says, she is going to convince you to accept Jesus, JF. I really don't like giving false hopes on this. Although my new, the person in my life is wonderful in all ways, and you would feel, like, I feel like I am blessed by a higher power. But I am not any closer to believing in God than I ever was. And it's very... 99.9% of the chances are I will die denying the existence of God. But You know, you never know. I can have a brain sprout. You never know, because at the end of life, they give you heroin and you're like, you're tripping on mushrooms and you're like, oh. And maybe at that time I will be like, oh, maybe God exists. I don't know. And poof, I die. That might, there might be a chance there. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, my main counter is that don't confuse naivete with agreeableness. The most difficult combination to deal with may be naivete plus disagreeableness. Ah, yeah, those are good points. Those are points that are separable indeed. They often go together, though. If you have a naive woman, she's often going to be younger and more agreeable. Anand says, so you're telling me there's a chance... Silver Spider says, remember the safe word is pineapple, JF. Pineapple for what? If I ever feel that I am under extortion? Pineapple was the safe word that I had agreed upon with Andy Warski. But it was a safe word. Safe word for what? I don't remember. It was a safe word for a joke or something. Yes, Nick Frantes is appearing on Jake Shields. Very good appearance, where he's talking about, yes, you know, it's the sub-factions of Jewry. Because there's always a bunch of people who are looking to say, it's not all Jews. And yeah, it's not all Jews, but that's kind of a straw man you're attacking. Because no one has said it was all Jews. There's a problem in the fact that it's Jews. There's there's enough observation to know that there is a bias, a direction to the system, that the system is selecting in that direction due to ethnocentrism, due to also other mechanisms. But there's always these people who are trying to modify the conspiracy theory, and they're like, well, it's a bunch of satanic people inside the Jewish religion, or it's globalists that are trying to scapegoat the Jews. Remember Alex Jones? Saturn Shine says jewelry. No, Jewry, J-E-W-R-Y, Jewry, like womanry. Animus Uprising sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, what are your thoughts on pedigree whites only evolved at surviving in all-white societies? Because let's be honest, it didn't take much for Jewish influence to cock the West. It's almost like you need slightly mixed, more tribal whites like Nick to usher in a new existential self-awareness. Absolutely. I think that's a correct view. I believe that whites had not evolved societal protections of the kind that would have helped us resist the attacks on white society. But the good news is evolution always works. Evolution never fails until you're all dead. That is the great realization of Richard Dawkins, is like, wow, nothing can stop it except absolute death. But like death, like with a flamethrower to make sure that there's not a single cell left alive. And that kind of death, you never really have it. So basically, Darwin keeps going all the time in all ways. So, which is why I say white people are the next Jews. It's because one of the way we may adapt is to become this constantly migrating people. I hate migration. I hate it, but it may be the only way we can escape constant oppression by more violent forces. So either, in my view, either we are headed north toward cold, or we are becoming Jews. Personally, I have a big favorite for the cold, because the cold has a demonstrated history of being very hard to handle for other races. And so whites are already like the most evolved race for handling cold. Maybe if you accept Inuit people. So I believe that the cold path is the best. Well, that is it for tonight, Buzz. Thank you for being with me on the regular chat. And thank you for the generous super chats. Oh, yeah, there's this guy, Fascist ETH. He was telling his story of becoming schizophrenic. My schizophrenia story is pretty wild. I started hearing voices at 17, just repeating the N-word in my head unironically. And I was super anti-racism. And I actually believed I was developing Tourette's. And I lived in a mainly black area, so I was fucking scared. I was gonna get shot or some shit. Then in 2021, I was writing the Grabovoi numbers in a weird pattern, and I heard these voices tell me that I woke up. I thought I was talking to God and angels and shit, and literally was schizoing so hard I was living on streets for a while. Then in the past few years, I've had a few more psychoses. Thinking I'm a sleeper agent and just having revelations about simulations and shit. I even wrote this last night. Creol, the theory that life... The theory that life is merely the division by division computation of a computer that is infinitely expanding and particleizing itself to optimize data collection. I wanted to read this. My schizophrenia has evolved into some fusion of simulation belief intertwined with demons and angels as either aliens or universal viruses and shit. I wanted to read it because I think this guy, yes, he's definitely a schizophrenic. But that doesn't mean you don't sometimes have a kind of genius idea or something worth exploring. And that theory of life, although weirdly named Creol, that theory of life is interesting. The theory, and I'm going to rephrase because it's phrased in a schizo way, but I'll try to steel man it here. The theory that life is a division by division of a computer that is infinitely expanding and specializing itself to optimize data collection. You know, you can see replicators as sometimes as basically sending their phenotype for the purpose of data collection, and then the data collection basically results in a computation, which is, do I survive or do I not survive? If I do this, do I survive or do I not survive? If I do that, do I survive? And that's like a computer learning in a way. So yes, I believe it's an interesting and potentially even productive direction of thinking. Makes me think about David Deutsch a little bit. This whole idea that no matter what you do, the universe always converges toward an infinite learning machine of some kind that tries to absorb everything around it by learning. Dead Star says, JF's respect for the schizo mind is beautiful. Yes, I respect the schizo mind. A lot of trouble living with schizo people, but yeah. Sometimes there's something that's okay from them. Shringmail sends a super chat. He says, the biggest problem I see with this Taiwanese woman is the language barrier. She speaks Chinglish at best, and Chinese is a very difficult language to learn. Do you have any advice for me, or I won't be able to learn enough Chinese by January? Oh, I mean, let the universal language of dick speak for you. Dead Star says, Jeff, how about letting Monk know his concept of the equality the founders believed in is a complete woke revisionist joke. The founders saw American as a nation tied together by God and blood before all else. Look behind the days of Congress and you will see two faces. That is our history. Oh, yeah. I moved on because I wanted to speak about one thing, but it led me to totally forget this aspect of his super chat. But you're absolutely correct. I don't believe that the founding of America was about equality for all. I mean, white people are mentioned in the Constitution originally. Slavery was there until it got canceled. So no, I don't believe that it's a correct interpretation. In fact, it is, as you say, a revisionist interpretation of the history of America. I think that the people of America, the founders, the original founders, really knew that it was all reliant on whiteness and that we would be faced with problems if we tried to extend the protection of laws to other races. And we did. We did the experiment. We tested it. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.